All right, we're on part two of Founding the Republic lecture. Hopefully no one's fallen asleep yet. When I do it in parts, I guess if you do fall asleep, you wake up and don't miss as much, so that could be okay, I guess. So let's talk about some of the early struggles the common people, plebeians, had in the early days of the Republic. Basically, the struggle between patricians and the plebeians really surfaced early in the days of the Republic, when the plebeians threatened to stop serving in the army and paying taxes unless they were given a voice in the government. And as you learn from reading Ben-Hur, and again, Ben-Hur takes place during the Imperial Rome, so after the Republic has died, but you know how much the Roman government relied on taxes. You read about that, I think, in chapter one of Ben-Hur, or the first chapter that I gave you. So this situation with taxation really was important to the Roman government. So when the common people said they weren't going to pay their taxes anymore unless they had a voice in government, this was really serious business. So since Rome was often at war with its enemies, its neighbors in Italy, and because it was working really hard to expand its territory, this threat of no taxes and not participating in the army was really serious. So to avoid civil war, the Senate gradually changed and allowed the plebeian class more governmental input. And this will keep changing through time. And again, this is a super example of one of the key characteristics of a civilization, complex institutions, and what complex institution? I'm talking about government here, how this government had to really react to what the people wanted. Two new assemblies were formed in the early part of the Republic to replace the popular assembly that approved the choices of consuls. So in the early days of the Republic, we have the Assembly of Centuries and the Assembly of Tribes being formed to replace the popular assembly that had actually approved the choice of consuls. So this is done to give the common people more say in government. So let me just spend a couple of minutes talking about these two assemblies. I'll start with the Assembly of Centuries. The Assembly of Centuries was made up of the entire Roman army, including the patricians and the plebeians. It passed laws and elected the consuls, who until then had been chosen by the Senate itself. This Assembly of Centuries also chose other officials, including the censor, and that would be spelled C-E-N-S-O-R. And the censor was the person who registered the population for tax and voting purposes. So this was a very important position. The censor also enforced the moral code. But still, at this time, all government officials are patrician. Now, the Assembly of Tribes was made up of just the plebeian class. It elected 10 tribunes to speak for their interest, for the plebeian interest. At first, the tribunes had no official role in the government. But when angry plebeians refused to fight for Rome once again, the Senate accepted the demand for a law code. And that's what we'll talk about next, the law code, the 12 tables. In 450-451 BCE, the patricians agreed to the plebeian demand that the Roman laws be collected and written down. The first written law code was carved onto 12 stone tablets that were set in the forum, which was the central marketplace. These laws were known as the 12 tables. They gave the common people some protection against unfair decisions by patrician judges. These codes also showed the strict separation between patricians and the plebeian class. For instance, there were laws that prohibited the plebeians from serving as consuls, entering the Senate, or marrying patricians. Yet by listing the laws and the punishments, the 12 tables protected all citizens from unfair treatment. These laws basically became the basis of the civil law code. Basically, the early laws were intended to really restrain the upper classes from arbitrary action and to really give everyone a common playing field in the Roman environs. This won't actually be the case because the notion of fair and reasoned laws was up for debate, but it became a key political achievement of the Roman Republic that they started to codify their legal system. And I've asked you to do this homework assignment this week to look at a primary document of the 12 tables, which I've uploaded and put under the bookmarks for week 7. And I've asked you to pick one of the laws, tell me what it really means in plain English, and then compare or contrast it to a law that's similar or drastically different that we have in the United States. Because basically, the 12 tables will undergo cultural diffusion. And we all remember what cultural diffusion is. It's a term we learned in chapter 1, I believe. Cultural diffusion is the spreading of a thought, a notion, a way of doing something to other cultures. But every culture adds to that particular entity. So the 12 tables have been drastically altered as other societies picked up a law code. Now, I just want to read you from page 101 in your textbook an example of this early codification of the law code. So here is an example of one of the laws. In one case cited in the law text of the Republic, a slave was being shaved by a barber in a public square. Two men were playing ball nearby, and one accidentally hit the barber with the ball, causing him to cut the slave's throat. And, of course, that was quite a mistake. So the question becomes, who was responsible for the tragedy? The barber, the catcher, or the pitcher? According to Roman law, the slave was responsible. For anyone in the law cited it as this way, for anyone so foolish as to be shaved in a public place was asking for trouble and bore the responsibility himself. Basically, with this law code, we really have the beginnings of the regulation of social life. And these 12 tables really allowed the common people to start having some rights in this government. So, from 450, I say so a lot, I've realized in these lectures. From 450 to 250 BCE, the plebeian position really improves. Enslavement for debt was outlawed. That's a big thing. Plebeians also gained the right to marry patricians and hold the office of consul. So again, that's really, really important. The assembly of the tribunes, also gained the power to make laws for the patricians as well as the plebeian class. And again, this is actually really, really important because now the assembly of tribes, I called the tribunes, but I meant to say the assembly of tribes, now actually has some real power to make laws for not only themselves, but also the upper classes. Eventually, the plebeians won the right to become senators as well.